be hoping. They told me they didn't change the clock in here. I thought I'd have an extra hour this morning to preach. Somebody said, no way, we're not giving him that chance. And they changed that. I don't blame you. But I'm really excited about the Word of God and looking forward to preaching the Word to you. And every time I get into the pulpit, it's an opportunity to allow show what I've meditated upon. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Apostle Paul told Timothy, and I think preaching ought to be a demonstration of that. My profiting, I have already profited from looking at this, may it appear to you this morning. A unit in the military has to fall in line to its commander. In order to do so, their focus must be on the voice of that commander. So that whatever that commander says, that unit does, and they do it together. Why? Because they're following one voice. As Christians, we are to follow the voice of the Lord, or I would call it the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's our commander, our chief, and what he says we are to do. And I'm going to preach this morning how we are to walk in the Spirit. Let's begin with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Father, we come to you in the loving name of our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. We are looking forward to this time of opening your Word and just sharing, proclaiming, exhorting the truths of this passage. And Father, I pray that we would take your living Word and in no way deaden it. May I not make it boring. May I not make it uninteresting. It's your living Word. May others not listen to it as if it's a dead book or an uninteresting book. May we all give attention to it. And so, Father, may we benefit from the time we have to spend together in your Word this morning. Guide in the moments that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at the last two verses. Let me first of all ask you, how is your relationship with the Lord? If you were to describe to me now or following the service so what your relationship with the Lord is like currently, what is it like? How much time do you spend with the Lord? What kind of fellowship do you have with Him? How are you obeying? We talk about a military unit falling in line under its commander. How well are you falling in line under your commander? Are you obeying the instruction of His Word? Are you heeding His promises and declaring His truths? Your response to the Spirit will determine what your relationship with God is like. If you study the Word of God, there are actually what I've seen is seven negative responses that you can have to the Spirit. It's almost like, if you want to picture it this way, a negative response of a child to its parent. One of the things that the Word of God says, if we can blaspheme the Spirit. Another thing that we can do is defraud the Spirit. That means to withhold from the Spirit that which the Spirit deserves. The Word of God says that we can resist the Spirit. We can resist Him when He's wanting to work in our heart. And that really fell in line with what we were talking about last week of listening to the Spirit. And if we don't listen to the Spirit, then what we are doing is we're resisting the Spirit because the Spirit's wanting to talk to us. You know, Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 lied to the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? We try to lie to the Spirit, but the Spirit knows everything. The Spirit knows when we're trying to lie. And so Ananias and Sapphira were lying to the Spirit. And I trust that you would never have that kind of response to the Spirit. We can neglect the Spirit, and we can also grieve the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about grieving the Spirit. But then there are also, I believe, at least four positive responses to the Holy Spirit. What we as Christians ought to be doing is, number one, allowing yourself to be filled with the Spirit, meaning you're going to allow the Spirit to have control over your lives. We learned that from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, or the idea of riotous living, but be ye filled with the Spirit, which is the idea of controlled living. Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to fill your life, to control your life? Secondly, we looked at how then we ought to be led of the Spirit. And again, that's something we allow. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you in this life. And we have to allow Him to lead, and then we follow after. So are you allowing Him to lead? Are you allowing Him to bring conviction upon your life? And when He does, are you following that leading that He brings upon your life? Or maybe He's admonishing you, encouraging you to witness to someone or to encourage someone. Are you following the leading of the Holy Spirit? Again, if you're not following the leading of the Holy Spirit, then you'd be resisting Him. You'd be grieving Him. He's wanting to do a work in and through you. And this all leads to giving us an understanding of how is your relationship with God. Again, I ask you that, and you might say, well, I'm not sure how to gauge that. Is there a meter you can put on that? Is there a monitor, a way of knowing whether or not I'm in a good relationship with God? Well, there is, by how you're communicating and following the leading of the Spirit. Then we looked at last week how we need to be listening to the Spirit. We looked at Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3, really, at various passages of Scripture. It says, He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So even a message for someone else, He said, whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear that message. Why? Because that message is valuable for every one of us. You're having an opportunity today to demonstrate that. Not by listening to me, so to speak, but by listening to His Word being proclaimed. You're having an opportunity to listen to the Spirit. Again, to say, you know what, I don't really want to hear what the pastor has to say. I don't really want to hear what the Word of God has to say. You're resisting Him. You're defrauding Him an opportunity of working in your heart and life. You're grieving Him by having that kind of response. And so I want to look at Galatians chapter 5, and let's look first of all, just for a moment, at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The idea here is in your walk, in your activities of life, walk with the Spirit, remember, in control. Walk with the Spirit leading. Walk with the Spirit as He's communicating to you. You're listening to Him. And He says, as long as you're walking in the Spirit, in a right relationship with the Spirit, look what the end of the verse says. Ye shall not. Now listen to this. It's actually in a real demonstrative. It's actually, you cannot. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does that mean? As long as I'm in obedience to the Spirit and walking with the Spirit, I won't have trouble with my flesh. Why? Because I'm focused on my commander-in-chief. I'm doing whatever He tells me to do. And you know, as long as you are in a right relationship with the Spirit, you're not going to have trouble with the flesh. Are there some things in your life like there are in mine that you struggle with from day to day? Maybe there's various temptations that you succumb to, that you really battle with. Maybe those temptations have been over the last couple days. Maybe they've been over the last couple months. Maybe they've been for years. I've said this before, but I still remember a preacher back in Bible college saying for over 20 years he had battled with a sin. He said at times he was ashamed to get up in the pulpit. He said, he even questioned his salvation. He says, how can I be a Christian and still after 20 years struggle with this sin? He said, one day it came to him. He said, if he wasn't a Christian, he wouldn't be struggling with it. He'd just do it. And he realized it was an evidence that he's a Christian because 20 years he's still trying to put it off and still trying to control it and still trying to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So maybe in your life there's been something you're really battling with and you're saying, what is the answer for getting victory over that sin? The answer is walking in the Spirit. I want to look at two things this morning in this Spirit-filled walk, and I want to take them from verses 25 and 26. The first point from verse 25, the second point from verse number 26. I did make a typo there on your point. I don't usually have long points like this, but I developed some long points here this morning. And you must make the decision to make your settled position to come out of your relationship. And I want to explain that. It's a kind of a complex and a difficult to understand point. But I want you to see you have a settled position as a Christian. Now let me stop right there. Primarily, this message is for Christians. Well, what is that? Or how do I know if I'm a Christian or not? There came a time in our lives, and for me, it was in October the 26th, 1969, as a five-year-old sitting in Sunday school, I came to the realization that I needed a Savior, and Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. And I trusted that His death was sufficient for me. And I believed in Jesus Christ that day, trusting His death, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, would give me victory over the power and penalty of sin. And so at that point on, I then became a child of God. Now, I did question that later on in my life, and so at the age of 16, I don't remember the exact date, but I can remember the time, and I was at that time in Psalm 32, "Thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me." And I remember making sure of my salvation, and I am trusting in the Lord totally. I try to do good things, but not to get me to heaven, but because I'm going to heaven. I have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I don't do the good works to become a child of God. I do the good works because I'm a child of God. And so has there ever been a time when you trusted in Christ alone to get you to heaven? Not anything about good works, not anything about attending a church or doing anything like that. That all comes after salvation. Has there been that time? If there has been, then look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, that means if you have your life in the Spirit, if you have your breath in the Spirit, it really is saying if you're saved, then make this decision, or you have a decision to make. You have a choice to make. So if you're a Christian, if you're living in the Spirit, here's the choice you ought to make. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Do you know what that tells me? That tells me you might be living in the Spirit, but not walking in the Spirit. This is a choice we make. And maybe, number one, you've taken time and you decide not to walk with the Lord. Or maybe you didn't know you were supposed to walk in the Spirit. Maybe you're young in the Christian faith and not been discipled and not grown very much. And so I want you to understand what the Word of God's saying here is you've got a decision to make. If you're a child of God, this is a decision He's encouraging you to make. You also ought to be walking in the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? It means, I began with the illustration of a military unit falling in line and following the voice of the commander. Well, that's exactly what this word walk means. It means to fall in line under. It means to follow closely after the leader that has gone before. It means to walk in an orderly manner. It also has this idea with the end result of turning out in a great way, a good way, a prosperous way, a beneficial way. Now, I took a little bit of time to look at that preposition in. There are really kind of three different prepositions that could have been used here. One could be a moving into something. The other could be a moving out of something. Or the other could be remaining in that place. And that's the word used here. What is he saying? As a Christian, we ought to fall in line with the Holy Spirit leading us, and we ought to stay right there. We ought not to go to the left or to the right. We ought not to take a vacation from God. We ought not to take a hiatus and say, hey, I'll come back to you later. I'm going to sow my wild oats for a little while. We ought to stay in and walk in the Spirit, meaning remaining in that right relationship with God. Keep your hand here for a second and turn over with me to Ephesians. You're in Galatians. The next book is Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Wow, it's filled with tremendous admonitions for us. Look at verse number 15. See then that ye walk, here's about your walk again, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The idea of circumspectly is carefully, straightly. He's saying as a Christian, you ought to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Look what it goes on to say in verse number 7. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Oh, what's the will of the Lord? That you be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So there's just an example. He's saying as a Christian, you ought to walk in a straight line after the orderly commands of God. And what are the orderly commands of God? It's His Word. Well, as a Christian, I need to be getting into His Word and finding out what God wants me to do and then follow that. Remember, this is the sword of the Spirit. That's why we get up and preach the Word. We don't come here and just preach you a Christian philosophy. We don't come here and just tell you to do good things. We don't come here and just try to put you on the right track and talk about Christian themes. No, we want to come here and talk about the Word of God. Why? Because it gives us direction. This is what the sword wants to do. So if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, then I need to be in the Word of God. How many of you think you ought to walk in the Spirit on Sundays? Raise your hand. Okay. I think pretty much. A couple of you think maybe not. Brother Barclay, he doesn't think we should, but that's okay. That's okay. You keep coming here, brother. I'll get you in the right position with the Lord. No, I'm just kidding you. How many of you think you ought to only walk in the Spirit on Sunday? You say, no, it ought to be more than just Sunday. It ought to be Sunday, Monday. It ought to be every day of the week. Well, then we really need to be in the Word every day of the week. So again, our settled position is one thing. I'm in Christ, so looking forward to going to heaven. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, even though he knows confident that he's going to heaven, he says, we still labor so that we'll be accepted of Him. He said, even though I know I'm going to heaven, I can't be taken away from me, that doesn't mean I'll go out and just do whatever I want. No, I still need to walk in the right relationship with the Lord. So even though you're settled, you need to make this decision. Okay, I need to now walk in the Spirit. Now let's look at a second idea though here. And I see this as then the application of the message. If the point of the message is this, as a Christian, you should make this decision to walk in the Spirit. Those who are walking in the decision, are in the Spirit, then also make an additional decision of not to do certain things. Look at verse number 26. Here's again, the let us not. So again, we've got a decision to make. You've got a choice to make. Sometimes the choice is a good one, or on the positive side, to walk in the Spirit. Sometimes it's to not do something that you might be tempted to do. The reason the Lord tells us not to do certain things is because in our flesh we're tempted to do those things. Boy, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. But it doesn't seem weak, does it? When it comes to doing right, that flesh seems awful strong. And I know you kind of get in the words of Paul, the things that you ought to be doing, you're not, and the things that you shouldn't be doing, you are. Sometimes that inner man, that person of who you are really battles with the flesh, the natural man. I don't think Sunday morning after Sunday morning your flesh can't wait to get out of bed and go to church, especially when you lose an hour. How many of you found it a little bit harder to get up this morning? Karen came to me at 3 a.m. I was still wide awake. I don't know what I was doing all that time. I only added one more verse to my sermon. But I was going back through my entire message, going through all, and I added one verse. At 3 a.m., she goes, "You already lost an hour of sleep, and here you are still up." And so I was looking forward to preaching that extra hour, but now they've taken it away from me. But anyway. But, you know, the flesh, it doesn't look forward to getting up and going to church, does it? But when the Spirit really wants it, do you know what choice is made? You know, that flesh is weak when it comes to doing right, doing good. Well, you can't give in to that flesh. Because guess what? The flesh doesn't want to go to work on Monday either. Or Tuesday. Or Wednesday. Definitely not Friday. You see, folks, we can't live life by how we feel or what we feel like doing, because I want you to know the flesh never feels like doing what is right. And so as a Christian, we've got to make a decision. So sometimes God has to say, you know what, you shouldn't be doing this. Let's look at the list of things He's saying to Christians that if they're walking in the Spirit, they shouldn't be doing. And let me stop and make a point here. This is really going to come out 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now. Your relationship with God will ultimately be seen in your relationship with others. If you have a poor relationship with others, the reality is you have a poor relationship with God. It's like, no, that can't be true, Pastor. I'm reading my Bible every day, and I'm praying every day, and I'm attending the services. Well, you can be doing all that and still not in a right relationship with God. In this passage, those who are walking in the Spirit are then also maintaining right relationships, I'll say it this way, in the flesh or on a human-to-human level. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I shouldn't be provoking others to wrath. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I should not be envying others. Let's look at the list here that God gives. I'm not drawing up this list. You don't want to come here and get the idea of what Keith Schweitzer says. Let's look at what the Lord says here in verse number 26. So, you must make a decision to make your relationship with God influence your relationship with others. So, let us, or we've got a decision now to make, not be desirous of vainglory. Well, as I look out, I don't see any of you that ever struggle with that. So we're just going to skip that point, okay? Can we all agree to that? Boy, don't we all struggle with this? Don't we all want credit for things? Don't we all want patted on the back from time to time? Don't we all want others to see what we're doing and to compliment it and to talk about it and to tell others about it? He's saying, you know what? If you're walking in the Spirit, don't live life this way. Don't be desirous of empty glory or praise given to you. If you read the book of Acts, you read the story of Herod, who gave not God the glory. By the way, how did that end? How did that work out for him? It led to his death, didn't it? See, in our Christian lives, this is one of the things God says, if you're walking in the Spirit, this is something you shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't be trying to receive vain glory or empty praise for what you're doing. As a Christian, that's a choice we have to make. We have to decide, well, I need to decrease so that He would increase. The words of John the Baptist. I need that the Lord get all the glory. Paul was saying, if I glory anything, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be living our lives, our ultimate goal, so that God gets the glory. We shouldn't want any of it along the way. And so, as a Christian, those who are walking in the Spirit, all right, let's now make this decision. So we're making some application. All of a sudden, what were our relationship with God ought to be coming out in our relationship with others. Let us, number one, not be desirous of vainglory. Look at the next one. Provoking one another. I have to admit, sometimes I like provoking people. Sorry, I'm just being clear. Transparent. I had one of the salesmen call me the other day on the phone. And I had a good time with them. They didn't have a good time with me. I said, you know what, I'm not interested right now, but why don't you give me your number and I'll call you later. I'll call you when you're home eating supper. I got a little provoking. You know what the Bible says? If we're walking in the Spirit, we shouldn't be provoking. Do you ever provoke people? You'd never do it purposely, would you? You see, if I'm in a right relationship with the Spirit, there's no room for provoking people. The moment I provoke someone, I've got to, wait a second, Spirit, I want to go over and provoke so-and-so. I just cut off my relationship with the Lord. You see, folks, you can't say, I'm living in a right relationship with God and at the same time be provoking people. Sometimes we provoke our mate. Sometimes we provoke our children. What does the Scripture say? That we shouldn't provoke our children to wrath, correct? And the Word of God gives us examples. What about Isaac and Rebekah? They provoked wrath in their own children. And look at what happens and comes out. And Jacob and Esau. And really, it was the fault of the parents. They provoked those children to wrath. So you can't tell me that you're in a right relationship and you're walking in the Spirit. You're giving attention to your commander. And at the same time, you're provoking somebody to wrath. You know what you need to do is, first of all, stop and confess that to the Lord. And then what you need to do is you need to ask forgiveness of that person you're provoking to wrath. You know, say, you know what? I've not been walking in the Spirit. Because of that, I'm not having a right relationship with you. And I've sinned against you. Will you please forgive me? You know what that does? It puts you back in a right walk with the Spirit again. So you need to make that decision. That's not just going to happen automatically. It's a decision. It's not that I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm not going to have any temptations. I'm not going to struggle with any of that anymore. No, you got to keep walking in the Spirit. And as long as you do, you won't have trouble with the flesh. But the moment temptation rises up, you've got to keep focusing on walking in that Spirit. And the moment you provoke somebody to wrath, you have now just broken off your relationship with God. There's one more in this list. He says, don't be desirous of vainglory. We shouldn't be provoking one another. We shouldn't be envying one another. I looked that up. It has the idea of a zealous desiring of what others have. I was joking with the Sunday school class this morning because we're in separate buildings right now. Ron and I are spies of everybody coming down the driveway. I look out the window and tell Ron who came in, and Ron checks them off on the attendance sheet. And I'm like, I didn't know they had such a nice car. Mark that one down, Ron. They got a really nice car. I told Jordan he's got one of the top five. He's driving in a BMW. I mean, it does have a bumper sticker bought from Craigslist. But anyway, he's got one of the nicest cars. If I need something, I'm going to Jordan. Some of you I'm not going to. If I go to you, I'm going to give you money. I look at the cars you're driving in here, and you need money. The idea here is You know what? It's really easy to envy, isn't it? It's really easy to want what somebody else has. Maybe what you want and what they have is a pain-free life, a struggle-free life, a good marriage, really obedient kids. Well, no, we don't have any of that in here. But anyway, something like that, you say, well, I really want... The Word of God says, you know what? If you're walking in the Spirit, you should not be desiring what others have. Why is that? You ought to be satisfied with what He's given you. In whatsoever state, being content. And so as a Christian, as long as I am walking in the Spirit, that ought to be coming out in my human relationships, but that's a choice we have to make. Why is that? Because our flesh is weak. Let's look at three more verses and then I'm done. Let's back up to verse number 14 of the same passage of Scripture. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 14, where it says this, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt what? Love." There it is. You know what? If you loved, you wouldn't desire vainglory. If you loved, you wouldn't provoke. If you loved, you wouldn't envy. You'd be glad they had it. See, it's all fulfilled in one word. And by the way, what's going to bring love out in your life? The ministry of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Spirit's going to teach you to love. So we boil down to one word. It's love. I'm not preaching a soft gospel. I'm not preaching a gospel just of love. But I'm saying one of the key components is this. The first and great commandment is you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like unto it. You love your neighbor as yourself. And so instead of wanting it, you're glad they have it. You're glad for them. He says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another." Sounds like provoking, doesn't it? "Take heed that ye be not consumed." Guard yourself, because guess what the end result of this is? You're just going to destroy each other. How many of you are in a relationship like that? You say, yeah, it's their fault. Why are there wars and envying among you? Don't they even come of your own members, James says? Not quoting it exactly, but James chapter 4. He says the reason there's battles is because there's a will inside of you and a heart that's deceitful and desperately wicked. The reason you've got battles isn't because of them. The reason you have battles is because of you. The reason I have battles is because of me. And so as a Christian, we've got to be careful. He's putting this right in the context of them walking in the Spirit. Look at verse 16. "This I say then," if that's the temptation of biting and devouring one another and being consumed one of another, "this I say then," here's the message, "walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I trust coming to the end of this message, you'd be persuaded of this. Wow, I need to be walking in the Spirit. This sounds really important. If I'd walk in the Spirit more, I'd have less trouble with my flesh. Yeah, I'm going to have to make a decision. Times of temptation are going to come, but less if I'm walking in the Spirit. And if I'm walking in the Spirit, then the Spirit's going to help me whenever I'm tempted to be wanting vain glory or provoking somebody, or I'm tempted to envy. If I'm walking in the Spirit will help me with that. Don't you see how important it is for you as a Christian to walk in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit means to remain there, abide there, in a close relationship with God. And if I abide, that's a choice I make. If I abide in Him, sounds like John 15 with the Lord. I am the vine, you're the branches. If I abide in that Spirit, then I make a second choice because that's going to help influence my relationship with others. Folks, the key to fixing your relationship with others is fixing your relationship with God. It all starts there. Let's pray.